Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Jester. With me as always, Akiva Lineker. Akiva, how are you today?
I'm so great. So great.
It's your favorite time of the year.
Yes, I always
it's the
say
most wonderful time. Sorry.
No, stop saying. I always say, and maybe I'll tweet this tomorrow, so don't get on me for saying a joke on a podcast no one listens to and then tweeting it. But I do always say that I wish for everyone out there to one day love their children as much as I love March Madness. I mean, some people have kids, and I hope that they love their kids as much, like their actual kids, as much as they love March Madness. But if you don't, then one day you should have kids. You shouldn't, actually.
So
but
the problem is, for most people who have jobs like that prevent them from watching, like the biggest problem with March Madness is that the most exciting times are Thursday in the middle of the day, Friday the middle of the day, and chumps like me are stuck in the office.
So I never take off work for anything back in the day when I was a stooge in New York, and I would take off one day a year. I'd take off March Madness. I'd actually work till noon if my job sort of asked for it. But when I was a teacher, that was the only day all year I took off, and I would try and convince friends to take the day off work too. And sometimes that worked, and sometimes I'd just stay home. And like I would stay home, and I would get like I do what Louis C.K. called the double double. I think he called.
No, he calls it the bam bam. Or
oh yeah,
I forget.
Not the bam bam. And I'd get food from two different restaurants. I get like Chinese, and I'd get like deli or shawarma or something. I would just go to town.
It's a bang bang. It's a bang
bang.
Bang.
Oh, do the bang bang. Okay, and I've used that term like 100 times. So you get food from two different restaurants, and you just go absolutely bananas, and it's my favorite day of the whole year.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
I've never been to Vegas. I got married when I was 20, so like...
Wait, you've never been to Vegas, period?
I've never been in... Yeah. I mean, yeah. You should listen when I talk. I've said that many times, but...
Yeah. By the way, you can't blame your wife. I've been to Vegas with my wife.
Yeah, my wife's not interested, and why would she bring, like... Like, if you were an alcoholic, your wife wouldn't be like, hey, let's go to the bar, you know? So why would my wife bring me to Vegas?
The best time to go to Vegas, though, I would say for sure, is March Madness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the
I've been to Vegas too many times.
Take and I say of all time. Like, everyone... like,
well, no, but people say the Super Bowl.
The most...
I haven't been there for the Super Bowl.
Everyone knows that, though.
I'm just saying. But I've actually done it, and I can say that it was great.
I also have gambling tips for those who are in Vegas.
Well, let's give gambling tips.
All right, so let's jump in. So Akiva, you know, and I, the two of us collectively, I guess, although more you than me, have a whole bunch of interesting pools going on that we do in March Madness. One of your pools, which people are still can still join as long as I upload this podcast.
So we're actively promoting illegal
Thursday.
Gambling on this podcast?
It's not illegal. We're just doing it for fun, right?
We're going to lose all of our sponsorship.
Yeah, we're just doing it for fun.
It's true. The winner gets, by the way, we're in another pool, and you made up a rule that if like something crazy happens, but specific and feasible, although unlikely, then some testicular cancer charity gets all the money from the pool. That's insane.
Yeah, so I did this last year. Yeah, you're right. So we'll talk about that one first, and then we'll talk about yours. This is a pool that people can't join anymore because the draft has already been completed. This is a NCAA players pool. So you draft. There's 11 people in our league, and we had a snake style email draft, reply all email draft today, and we drafted 11 people each drafted six teams. So a total of 66 teams were drafted, and then everybody takes their six teams and they choose two players from each of those teams. So you have a total of 12 players. And you just add up the total points scored by the 12 players in the tournament, and whoever gets the most points from their 12 players wins. What I said is we want to be able to have a rooting interest for every single team in every single game. So the two teams that went undrafted in our league, which are Austin Peay and Middle Tennessee, who are both garbage, obviously, they're both going to get creamed, you know, in the first round. They have no chance of playing a second game. If their top two scorers combine for 60 points, which means 30 points apiece, basically, in that extremely unlikely scenario, then that means that all 11 of us did such a bad job drafting because we left a team that was really good on the board, and so nobody deserves to win. And so, yeah, the entire pot will go to charity.
My money back if that happens. No charity.
Yeah.
And what if someone is pro-testicular cancer? Like, I don't understand. You didn't even factor this stuff in.
Is anybody pro-testicular cancer?
No, nobody's pro-testicular cancer.
Yeah. Well, is anybody pro-cancer, really?
I'm sure there's people. People are always like, oh, I wish that so-and-so would get cancer. I don't think that's cool.
Yeah, but they're not rooting for cancer in general. They're just rooting
nobody's
for
a fan of
a
cancer.
Specific person.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody can be pro-cancer.
You think ISIS likes cancer?
That's the players.
What do you think ISIS thinks about cancer?
No, because they have like more efficient ways of killing people, chopping heads off.
So they're not impressed by cancer, basically.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about rape and murder anymore. So let's move on. So why don't you talk about your 4-1 pool, because we can still recruit people.
I don't want to recruit people. It's so much work for me. I'll tell people about it just so that people could hear how awesome my ideas are. Like, I invented the players pool 10 years ago. Now you take credit for it and you run it. And I don't even get to know that you're giving all the money to charity, apparently, instead of like my hard-earned money that I'm going to win in the pool, maybe. But the 4-1 pool is 4 different pools. It's regular bracket, just standard. You fill out a bracket, you give it in. Then a survivor pool, which is like an NFL survivor pool, where you pick a team or two every day, and they have to advance, and you can't pick the same team twice, and last person standing wins. And then we do a wins pool, which is you just pick one team per seed number. So 1-1 seed, 1-2 seed, 1-3 seed, 1-4 seed, and so on until 16. And you try and have your group of 16 teams win the most games in the NCAA tournament. And then we have a new pool this year called the spread pool, which I think might be good, although we'll see how it works. Which is, you pick a bunch of games against the spread, and it's basically like a tournament. Like, you're in the bracket, and it's 64. After the first round, it'll be 64, the 64 best brackets remaining. Or basically, like, my picks will play against Chester's picks, and he'll, like, forget to pick. He'll go 0-8, and I'll go...
Oh, I hope it don't match up in the first round.
Well, we got to make it. There's a lot of people in this pool at this point. I don't know if we'll make the round of 64.
Yeah.
And then it goes, you know, on and on and whatever. We'll see. I mean, that might be good. There might be a lot of ties. I'm not so sure.
So, hypothetically, if somebody's intrigued by what you just said and were to tweet at you, at Keeve26 on Twitter, hey, Akiva, I'd love to join the 4-1 pool. Your answer is no?
No, they could join. No, they could join.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying I'm not, like, interested in, like, promoting it places because it's a lot of data entry for me. So, I want it to be smaller, not bigger. But if you listen to this podcast, I love... If you listen to any of my podcasts, I love you, so... You can join whenever.
Yeah. And many listeners are wondering, well, you call it a 4-1, Akiva. So what happens? Like, how do the four combine with each other? And the answer is not
at all. No, they used to combine, but it was a lot of work, and I stopped combining them. There used to be a one winner of the pool, a person who did the best. Like, the first year, a guy came in, like, second, third, first, and fifth in the four pools.
So last year, that was me, and so I was sort of sending updates to everybody in the pool of, you know, the people who were in the running to win the overall.
Oh, yeah, he does spreadsheets even when they don't count.
Yeah, exactly. And all of those people, obviously, because they were totally self-interested, are like, oh, that's awesome. What do you win? And then I said nothing. I said, why don't you yell at Akiva? And then all these people are like, oh, Akiva, what the hell's wrong with you? Why does nobody win that? But of course,
I have to stop giving you the email list for the whole pool. I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah. Especially when I'm rallying them up against
forming
a coup d'etat. All right. So do you have any hot takes about March Madness, or should we jump into the real March Madness, which is, of course, the Elite Eight of our greatest living American tournament?
No, let's talk March Madness, and then we'll cut down from 8 to 4 with the GLA, sweeping the nation.
OK,
literally. I can't even turn on my computer. My phone, I think, shut off. There were so many tweets about it. 4 or 5.
Hashtag GLA.
I was annoyed that it's ridiculous and corporate that the garbage Tulsas and Michigans and Syracuses got in over Monmouth and St. Bonnie and all that.
Yeah, but that's not a hot take.
But that was Sunday, and now we're at
the bracket. Day. Yeah,
but I was really looking forward. So now what you have is
we're past who should be in the tournament. You know, it's funny because Sports Illustrated just a week ago had a whole article about how Valparaiso is not just going to be a sweet. You know, they're actually a team that can contend to go really far, and they're in the NIT.
Yeah, really the only boring thing you can get in round one is when you have like a Vanderbilt against the Wichita, which I know is the playing game.
Nobody cares. Yeah, nobody cares about mediocre teams in big conferences.
No, and Wichita's a bad example, but they're at this point, they're kind of like a power conference in that sense. Like, it would be cool if they won the championship, but it's not exciting for them to win a game or two. I'm a UConn fan, but when we play Colorado, when USC plays Providence, the only thing you root for is a close game. Like, it is still exciting to see a buzzer beater, but
yeah, eight nines are usually the worst games of the tournament.
And there's always at least two buried on Friday night, but there's really not much that can go right or wrong. Sometimes you get a close game, but what you want like the Purdue's versus the Arkansas Little Rocks, the Iowa State's versus the Ionas. The teams I'm most excited about in the tournament, I like the New York area teams. Well, one is already gone. By the way, here's a really stupid take. I love Mike Francesa. He's probably my favorite person on earth. He was talking to the coach of FDU, which was already knocked out as we're speaking. They lost by like 35 points to Dunk City.
And by the way, who had Florida Gulf Coast in the players pool?
No one cares.
This guy.
Oh, you did? So you're moving on. You got if you beat UNC, that's bragging rights forever.
I got 20 points from Noriela.
No, really, no one cares. I'm in this pool, and I don't even want to hear it.
Instead of taking Florida Gulf Coast's second leading scorer, I did some deeper research and took their third leading scorer.
Oh,
and it cost me six points.
I think Yosef Feldstein was famous. I think he in like the first year of this pool, he just picked the top two scorers. Number two was in jail, I think, by the time the tournament started. Like, he'd been kicked off the team. Like, he had 13 points a game, so he was the second scorer. But like, it was only two games, and he was like, he had.
Well, the toughest thing about this pool, because obviously you don't know who the players are in half the teams you're drafting. Yeah. So you just look at you know, at the team stats for the season, and you take the top two guys, and then if you see that one of the top two guys hasn't played all the games, you just, you know, quickly check his game log just to make sure that he hasn't missed any games recently. But the toughest thing is when a guy gets injured in the conference championship, such that he hasn't missed any games.
Yeah, I'll never know that. I'm not going to do it. It would have to be like on his page on ESPN.
But that's happened a couple times in the last couple years, and that's like a tough scenario.
Well, anyway, this is not so interesting. But so the teams, I'll give you some sleeper teams I'm super excited about to watch. So I don't know if you, this team is not going to win, but Stony Brook, our host's alma mater, Eric Cufflick's alma mater, had made their American Conference championship 4 years out of five, and they kept losing by like a point or two to Vermont or Albany, and they finally made it this year, and they have a really good team. They have a big man who put up 43 in a game this year, Jamil Warney.
Is that Warney?
Yeah, and he's a really good player, and they have a legitimate team that's like a classic March Madness team that could have beat people, and somehow they got Kentucky, that's really a one seed, somehow a four seed, and they're a 13.5-point underdog as a 13 seed. So they're not going to win, so I was excited about that. The other local New York 13 seed that is exciting is Iona. I didn't tell Mike Francesa's story yet, but he's wrong about everything. But he happened to, when Iona hired Tim Kloos, he said, like, I'm friends with Tim Kloos and he's going to be amazing. And I figured, like, okay, he's going to go like 0-30 three times and get fired. But he is an amazing coach. He's going to be coaching at one of the top 10 schools within a couple of years, because every year he's a little bit D'Antoni-ish. Like, they don't play so much defense, but they win. They run the ball and they score like 90 points a game. So they're very exciting. But
They got this guy AJ English who's scoring.
Yeah, and they'll take like guys like AJ English, who I think played for, you know, they a couple years ago they also had a guy who was like one of, like, the best player in Arizona, just happened to transfer, and they'll take transfers, which sometimes backfires. Like, Binghamton became a really good school for like 2 years, and then like their transfer students started murdering people because they had been kicked out of their previous schools, so they're like barely in the NCAA anymore.
By the way, AJ English sounds like a name that your NBA video game would create when you're doing like future seasons.
Yeah, it's
right. It's a very generic.
It is generic. The Francesa story. So he was talking to the coach of Fairleigh Dickinson, which was the 16 seed in the play-in games. And he said it's better if he was a coach of a 16 seed.
T-neck in this.
If he was the coach of a 16 seed, he would rather play in that game because you at least get to, you know, play another game on national TV. And if you win, that's an NCAA tournament win under your belt, even though it's really not. Like, no one's going to count that. And you want to win that.
The NCAA even gave up trying to call it.
Yes, this year it's not even called, because I think Francesa actually said they did that for the ratings, because people were including it in the ratings and they were so bad compared to the first round that they didn't want people to like average in the 2 with the 12. So they,
yeah.
But anyway, but so he said, like, I'd rather do that. But now they go out, Fairleigh Dickinson tonight, and the coach was agreeing, and he was just trying to make the coach feel good. Now they go out tonight and they lose to the other 16 seed by 31. So now whatever goodwill the coach has earned, it's not like he's getting a job now, right? If they had lost to North Carolina, he could get a better job, maybe. You know, someone would be like, oh, he's doing a great job at FDU. Now it's like, oh my God, he's losing by 31 points to a 16 seed. It's almost like a waste of a year.
Yeah, but FDU was a crappy team who just won their conference tournament.
Sure.
You know, they were heavy underdogs today against Florida.
But the point is, it's an absurd take to say you'd rather have to play in that garbage 16 seed game first.
No, for sure. If I was a player, I'd rather play in that game also.
Yeah.
And I was a coach, if I was a fan, for sure I would. I'd rather play two games than one.
So you've studied the teams. Is there even a 1% chance that one of these 16 seeds give something to the one seed? And which at this point, like, we're sort of old and grizzled. We're 32 years old. We've kind of seen almost everything there is in sports. There's nothing at this juncture that would be bigger. Like, someone wins the Super Bowl every year. Someone wins the World Series. Like, great, if you win a Triple Crown in baseball or in horse racing. It's like, okay, it's something I've seen before. To see a 16 seed beat a 1 seed, I feel like, is the last grail for us in sports. Like, we could almost retire if that happens. How insufferable would Bill Simmons be if Holy Cross wins as a 16 seed?
Oh, the only 16 I'm not rooting for is Holy Cross.
It would be insane. It would be, I mean, it would be fun to see like Joe House and Jack and all those guys. Like, it would be, I mean, he would have to like start writing column again. It would be unbelievable.
The one positive would be he has promised that he would stop following sports. Yes. If that happened, because he would get it.
Well, why is that
good?
He's
been promising that since 2004.
You've read every article he's ever written. You listen to his podcast. Why do you hate him?
You know my relationship, and it's similar to yours with Simmons.
Well, it's not similar to mine. Product, I didn't have a meeting with his editor to discuss what was wrong in the book. Only you did that. Only you met down with the editor of the Book of Basketball to go over the hundreds of mistakes
in the
book.
I wasn't saying what was wrong. No, I was copy editing it for him.
You found hundreds of mistakes.
I mean, there were more mistakes in that book than I've ever seen in it. It was.
I mean, they rushed out. First of all, there's so many facts, and they rushed it out. I almost gave them a pass.
And the copy that I have of that book, by the way, still has like
corrections.
All my tabs.
You must be fun at a party.
Yeah. So the answer is, this is the year that a lot of people have been saying, because it's such a wide open tournament, because so many teams have been the number one in the polls this year, because everybody has 4+ losses. People saying this is the year it's going to happen. No, it's not going to happen this year, categorically. You know, the funny thing when you talk about the one seeds is everybody was rightfully pissed that Oregon.
And it's worth saying these are the worst one seeds ever. We've never had one seeds this bad. The two seeds are just as good as ever. I like two seeds in the finals.
Well, but hold on. So I'm making the opposite argument here. So everybody's mad about like Oregon being a one seed and Michigan State not, and everybody's saying, oh, Oregon stinks. But I think that the hate has gone too far in the sense that nobody, I mean, literally zero people have Oregon coming out of that bracket.
Right.
Everybody's saying, well, which is crazy, because if Oregon was a 2 or 3 seed, a ton of people would be picking them as a sleeper.
Yes.
Instead, everybody's just like, oh, automatically they're going to lose. And so it's almost like where being the one seed is a negative in a sense.
Yes. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think Oregon's going to lose. None of the other one seeds are going to lose. We've seen the 2-15 before, of course, like Coppin State over South Carolina when we were in high school, I think that was. I think that could be in play, possibly.
Yeah, I was watching a video, like 10 or 25 greatest upsets in the NCAA tournament to get me fired up for the tournament.
Yeah.
People forget how big of a deal it used to be for a 15 seed to be a 2 seed, right? Syracuse loses in the 80s. Then in 1991, Arizona loses, but they lost to Steve Nash and Santa Clara. So that's like, in hindsight... Like, Arizona was loaded. Okay. They had, like, Damon Stoudemire, Chris Mills. They had, like, 4 or 5 NBA players. But but ultimately, like, the other team had a Hall of Famer and was, you know, in hindsight, like, that conference is, you know, rarely has 15 seeds. It's usually much higher. But then it started happening, like, South Carolina lost to a 15 seed in the late 90s by 13 points.
Coppin State, yeah.
Yeah, so lost to Coppin State by 13 points. Missouri randomly lost to, I think, a directional school. I forget who. Like, now it's old hat. And Iowa State lost to Hampton. That was the Iowa State that had Marcus Fizer, Jamal Tinsley, and ESPN writer.
Wasn't Fizer injured?
No, he played in the game.
Oh, he did. Okay.
What a disappointment. That was the year where, like, the two biggest players in the NCAA tournament were Marcus Fizer and Stromile Swift. And they were going to take over the NBA. It hasn't happened yet. It's still possible.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so I was going to say that. So my hot take is that I think that Weber State, or is it Weber? It's Weber State.
Oh, by the way, another one of my all-time favorite college basketball games, 14-seeded Weber State with Harold the Show Arsenault scoring 36 points to knock off North Carolina.
They have a couple of high scores now. They got Senglin. They got Ballenboy. You know this, of course, because you took them in the players pool. They're playing Xavier in the first round. Xavier, who's my least favorite top 2 seed. They play good defense, obviously, but this is my pick for if we're going to see a massive upset. I think that game, I think that Weber State's going to keep it interesting, at least late in the second half.
Give me your best game of the first round. What's the best game of the first round?
All right. Well, how about Akiva? Can we give a best game of each of the brackets? How about that? Each of the regions?
Let's best one in each region. All right. Game to watch for people.
All right. Yeah. So my game to watch in the South is going to be the winner of Vanderbilt Wichita State. And of course, that's happening tonight. So by the time this podcast comes out, people will probably know. But I think whoever that is, I think they have a chance to give Arizona a run for their money in the 6-11 matchup. So that's my game. That's my first round game to watch in the South. What about you?
I'm a diehard UConn fan. It's hard to explain how into the NCAA tournament games I get for UConn. Like, I don't like UConn as much as I like the Mets or the Jets, but I mean, now it's a little different because we've won the championship 4 times, but like, I wouldn't be able to stand in the first half of a lot of these games. Like, I would be so nervous that I would literally be. I remember when they played San Diego State and my beloved Kawhi Leonard, they won by like a point or two at the end of the game. I stood up. Other than halftime, I was like physically unable to sit the whole game.
Yeah, but Kawhi Leonard wasn't your beloved when he was at San Diego State.
Oh, I hated him. Yeah, and he had the cornrows. I wasn't like
he still.
But he was like
cornrows.
Nerdy. I know, but he was like nerdy cornrows.
Yeah, he does have nerdy cornrows.
So like that's the game I'm interested in, but I also I'm also gonna have to go with, we could be like, we don't have to be like Mike and Mike where we have to pick different games, right? Because I think Arizona Wichita State is like an incredibly high quality first round game. Yep. Vandy, I'd be less interested if it was Vandy.
I agree with you for sure. I'm rooting for Wichita State tonight.
The problem is there's some real, like, I think Cal's a very good 4 seed and they're playing not a great 13 seed, and then Maryland isn't, you know, a team that was like number 1 and they're playing South Dakota State, so none of those teams really are going to get a run for their money. So to me, the only great game out South.
It's interesting how the seeds work in the tournament, because the 11 seed is really the like, you'd rather be an 11.
Oh, so my team got a 9, and now I realize, like, we should have missed, UConn. Some people say they only made the tournament because they hit a 60-foot buzzer beater in triple overtime to force quadruple overtime where they won. They in hindsight, because Tulsa made it, they probably would have been one of the last teams in, even had they lost that game, and they would have been an 11 seed. Probably, unfortunately, they would have had to play in that playing game, but that's a better spot than playing, you know, even if they beat Colorado by 100, they're playing the number one team in the country in round two.
Yeah,
that's a disaster.
Being 8-9 is
terrible.
The way
that we won the championship 2 years ago was they won a game in overtime as the 7 seed against the 10 seed. They had to go to overtime with a late by hitting a late shot. Then they ran a 2 seed off the floor because they were just bigger than them, and the 2 seeds are not nearly as good as the 1 seed usually. And then it's open. Then you don't have to. Then even in the next round, you're playing at best a 3.
Well, so that's the thing. So really, the goal of the tournament is always, you know, the goal is the goal that every team has, unless you're, you know, one of the top 10 teams in the country. Your only goal going into the tournament is survive the first weekend, make it to the Sweet 16.
Sure.
And the way to do that, of course, is to avoid 1 seeds and 2 seeds, yeah, to a lesser extent, yeah, 2 seeds. And yes, so that's why being an 11 is in a great position.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. You'd rather be an 11 than a 7, 8, 9 or a 10. For sure.
Yeah, the threes have holes. The one seeds usually are just bigger and better than you.
Yeah, but if you're a 7, 8, 9 or 10 seed and you have to face a 1 or a 2, whereas an 11...
So how do you guarantee yourself to be a 6 or an 11? That's really the big question.
Yeah, so my second favorite team after Minnesota, of course, is Michigan, because my wife, my father-in-law, my grandfather-in-law all went to Michigan. Uh-huh. And yeah, my wife just chipped in because she's listening to this podcast. I lived in Ann Arbor. That's true. I lived in Ann Arbor.
Go Maize and Blue.
Yeah, last time I lived in Ann Arbor, by the way, was the last time their college football team was relevant. So they should bring me back.
No, shots fired at your wife.
So let's skip over to the East then. So, I'm obviously rooting for Michigan to beat Tulsa.
Oh, I've never seen a bracket with the South as the first region. That's kind of weird, right?
Well, yeah, because the brackets aren't like themselves geographically correct.
Right, I know, but I don't think I've ever seen the South as that top left. Anyway, the East.
Yeah,
there's an obvious answer here.
Well, so obviously, first of all, everybody wants Tulsa to lose that playing game because it's immoral. Oof, that Tulsa's in the tournament, right?
Yes.
And
Joe Lunardi basically, like, I honestly think he's like in a deep depression somewhere. He said, like, I don't know what does he do next year? Like, if Tulsa makes it, he wasn't even on his board.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
Yeah. So I'm obviously rooting for Michigan to beat them. And then Michigan gets to play Notre Dame, who's a hated rival in football. And I think Michigan's the kind of team that can beat anybody in the country, or they can lose to anybody in the country. So they could. So I think that Michigan-Notre Dame would be a great game. But I would guess you're going to point to Wisconsin-Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Wisconsin-Pittsburgh is a really good game. I'll be rooting the hardest in this region for Stony Brook. And I think the Chattanooga over Indiana would be like a classic, really cool March Madness thing. And Indiana has a bad enough coach for that definitely to be in play. Although the Indiana-Kentucky round two game will be exciting on paper until Kentucky runs them off the floor.
Yeah.
I think this region is probably the most talented except for the two seed, which is
for sure. Yeah, agreed. All right, so let's continue clockwise. So now we go into the Midwest. What's your game to watch in the Midwest?
I love Iona, so I'm excited about Iona-Iowa State, but I don't think that's going to be close.
It's going to be confusing in the corner of your screen when you're looking for a
score. Oh, forget it.
There was the great Bradley against Pittsburgh game 1 year, of course, right?
When Brad Pitt Seton Hall Gonzaga. Gonzaga was probably a national title contender until their best player, who was an unpronounceable Primozlav Korzhniewski or whatever his name is, went down. HBO did a hard, you haven't seen it, right? They did like a Hard Knock style series on Gonzaga.
No.
That's, I think, finishing tonight.
Because it looked pretty bad, honestly.
So yeah, it wasn't good. I'll tell you what, the coach Mark Few, which I'm always Few, they really underperform in the tournament. People think of them as a Cinderella Gonzaga.
Yeah, they haven't been in 15 years. It's crazy.
Right. They've made the Elite Eight twice, once in the late 90s and once last year. But they really have some unbelievable players. The problem is they have no guards. So they have Arvydas Sabonis' son, who's like amazing.
Yeah, he's really good.
But then they had another, like, even bigger European guy who was incredible, who was out for the year with a back injury. So, and they have Kyle Wiltshire, who's scored double digits on the Kentucky team that won the championship a couple of years ago. So those are three like enormous guys, like no college team has ever had, or maybe since the 80s, like three guys like 6'9 or above who are really good. They literally don't have decent guards. Yeah, but Few has no personality. They actually show the assistant coach a lot because he's like in charge of screaming at them and he's mean to them. Whereas Few just like is kind of in charge of looking like the guy who's going to be caught on to catch a predator.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that should be a really good game. It's weird to see Seton Hall. I feel like they haven't been in the tournament in forever.
Yeah.
And so that should be a fun game. I still root for Gonzaga, but I do think that maybe the bloom is, they almost missed the tournament this year. I think maybe the bloom is off the rose.
All right. So now we end up in the West. To me, St. Joe's and Cincinnati, probably the best first round game here.
Yeah. Cincinnati is the best defensive team in the country. They are very good. It would be, I think the two 16 seeds are so bad that it's not like Holy Cross or Southern is going to. I'm not a big Oregon fan. And I think like maybe Florida Gulf Coast could have made them sweat a tiny bit, but it's the wrong 16 seed here. Southern is from the SWAC, which is a really terrible conference. And the Holy Cross is from a bad conference. And they're also like the worst team in that conference.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to fare. I think it would be cool if Yale was able to keep it close. But Baylor's the type of team, they're just a little too big and physical for, you know, the first round for these minor schools. Like,
yeah,
they're the type of team that can be solved in the second round.
And Yale also, look, they're missing their captain, who's been kicked off the team. I think he was like their third leading scorer. There's
unjustly,
a lot of
I might add. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a lot of issues going around that team right now. I'm not sure on campus how much support they're going to be getting.
No, I don't think they're getting any support on campus.
Yeah.
Duke versus UNC Wilmington. There is nothing more fun than seeing Duke lose in the first round.
Oh, for sure.
It's Krzyzewski seems like either wins a championship at this point or loses in the first round. I think that for them to lose to a North Carolina school would absolutely be a delight, especially if this was the year that UNC ends up winning the tournament. It would be great if Duke loses in the first round. They're very unlikable, just as unlikable as ever. So my upset special, UNC Wilmington, hopefully beating Duke, and that would be really the moment of the first round.
All right, so now let's go to the final four picks. Why don't we start in the West? Who do you have advancing out of the West?
Well, so now we're going backwards?
Yeah, we'll just stay where we are, and we'll just work backwards.
To me, there's no question. By far, the best team is Oklahoma. They have the best player.
Did you see Buddy Hield, that half-court shot that went just after the buzzer?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, so
they were down by two at the buzzer in the conference semifinal against West Virginia.
Buddy Hield hit a half-court shot at the buzzer. It was absolutely bonkers. And then they checked, and it was by two frames of the video. It was as close as can be to be after the buzzer, so that the refs reviewed it and they end up saying correctly, because they've blown some of these calls in the past, correctly, that the shot did not count. But America's going to be introduced to Buddy Hield, you know, the leading scorer in the nation. He's going to go bonkers, I think, and I agree with you. They're going to march right through the West.
Is it sad that by far the best player in the country is not even in the tournament?
The crazy thing about that is why LSU turned down the NIT. What's the explanation for that?
No, the rumor is that he already left. Like he was, I think he had stopped going to class a while ago, possibly.
Well, isn't that why he wasn't eligible for the Naismith Award?
Because, yeah, he wasn't eligible for the Naismith. No, because he was under 2.0, I think. They're just not allowed to
say. That's what I'm saying. He's not even going to class. Yeah. I think it was like 1.8 or something. It was even lower, the threshold.
You know, and Andrew Bogut, so we're talking about Ben Simmons, and Andrew, he's Australian, and Andrew Bogut's Australian. And Bill Simmons, who loves Ben Simmons, asked on Bill
Simmons' interview with Bogut a couple weeks ago,
And Bogut was like really sour on this guy, Ben Simmons. So maybe there's something wrong with Simmons. But yeah, I think he left.
You know what? I would love for the Timberwolves to get him for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. He would be fit in perfectly there.
Oh yeah, that would be the perfect team for him. No, if you put him on a team with Towns and Wiggins and Rubio, that team's Oklahoma City. That team would win 60 games within two seasons.
Kevin Garnett would actually make him cry every day.
You think Simmons is weak? You think he's a wuss?
No, he would just Kevin Garnett would say horrible things about his family in Australia.
All right, okay, so now let's move back over to the Midwest. Hopefully we'll have a disagreement here. The thing is, Virginia-Michigan State, obviously, you know, would be a fantastic matchup in the Elite Eight. Last year, we saw it much too early in the tournament. Two of the best defensive teams in the league. Michigan State has probably my favorite player in the tournament in Valentine. You know, I'm a Big Ten guy, so I've been watching him for a couple of years.
It's very, for some reason, Michigan State to me is always the least likable team. I'm not a big Izzo fan. They're always really good, but in boring ways.
They only make the Final Four every other year. Yeah.
Yes. Although they rarely win it. To me, they are the best team this year, and I have them winning the Midwest.
All right. It would be great to see them against Virginia again in the Elite Eight, just because.
No, I would like. Yeah. I want to see Virginia. Well, there's also no team there. Like, I don't think Utah is fitting that spot. I don't think Iowa State or Purdue. Like, it's a two-team region, so. Who the third most talented team is all probably right. Gonzaga.
Okay, so now back up to the East. Hopefully we'll disagree on something here. This is the most stacked of the regions we've agreed.
By far, yeah. There's a bunch of teams that would have had picking in a different region. I have Carolina winning this one. Actually, in the Sweet 16, I have on the bottom side, I have a 6 and a 10. I have Notre Dame Pitt, so I have a bunch of upsets there, but ultimately the one seed prevailing.
I want to disagree with you. I would love to see Kentucky beat North Carolina. You know, and frankly, there's so many teams that could. Indiana could beat them. Look, if North Carolina makes the Final Four, they'll have earned it in this bracket. I'm not saying that I've picked it in all my brackets, but in terms of if I had to pick one team, I am leaning towards North Carolina. So it doesn't look like we have a lot of disagreement. And then we get to the South.
I have Trump University winning.
Yeah.
I have Kansas running away with it. To me, Miami has a good coach, so they're actually kind of intriguing. that Miami Villanova Sweet 16 game could be really good. And Maryland is fantastic. The Maryland Cal will be the best second round game possibly.
Maryland lost to Minnesota this year. They were the only win for.
That's why they're a 5 seed. If they hadn't lost to Minnesota, they would have been like a 2.
Yeah, the seeding for the Big Ten teams is very. They all got very low ratings considering how like the Big Ten was sort of considered, you know, if not the best and the second best conference this year. And yet all
the people say that the Big 12 and the Pac 12 teams that are kind of jokes that they sort of just got.
So Villanova's going to lose early again, or, you know, there's been 1 year, of course, when they went to the Final Four. But other than that, they've been very unsuccessful in the tournament with Jay Wright.
They're always too small. Also, they're too small for the tournament. You know, it's nice to have four guards in the regular season. Yeah, I have Kansas.
OK, so we both have the exact same Final Four. So that's extremely boring.
It's a good thing we're not in like a bunch of pools together with the same pick. And now who do you have winning, Oklahoma or Kansas?
You know, the thing is, that's we've already seen those teams play. The best game of the year earlier this season, the first time they played, which is when they were number one and number two in the country. I was more impressed with Oklahoma in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is a deeper team. I don't know. That's going to be a great game. I'm not predicting a winner right now of that game. Do I have to do that right now? We have a couple.
No, you don't have to. I have Oklahoma winning. And I mean, if you're in a bracket, I think you should probably fill out the bracket. I don't think you can wait a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then UNC Michigan State. Who do you have winning?
So I have Michigan State is sort of my pick to win it all this year, except mm-hmm. that the largest bracket I'm in is with all people from Michigan. Or mostly people from Michigan.
Yeah.
And so there, if you pick a team from Michigan, they're, you can't win doing that because that's what everybody's doing. So in that bracket, I actually have Michigan State losing relatively early just to buck the trend.
Right.
And so
so I have Michigan State over Oklahoma.
All right. In the championship. Oh, wait. You also have Michigan State winning it all?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. So yeah, we didn't play. Guys, we didn't plan this ahead of time. Yeah. I would have picked like Chattanooga to go all the way.
During our pre-show notes, we should have discussed this. Okay, so now let's get to what actually everybody's clamoring for. Cares about our opinion. Yeah, nobody cares about our opinions about who's the best college basketball team in the country.
Yeah, people want us to know like who are the greatest people in the whole country. We're not qualified for college basketball.
Exactly. So we are in the Elite Eight of the Greatest Living American Tournament. We'll start in the upper left bracket. We didn't give our brackets names. But in that region, it's come down to Sandra Day O'Connor and Bill Gates. Now, I threw up some Twitter polls yesterday just to get an idea of the wisdom of the crowd. And by the crowd, I mean 11 people, because that's how many people voted. But this one, Bill Gates ran away with a 10-1. So Bill Gates carried 91% of the vote over Sandra Day O'Connor. And I really don't see a way to disagree. I would love to know who that one person who voted for O'Connor was to sort of bring him or her on to hear the other take. Was it you by any chance?
No, I voted for Gates.
So is there any argument for Sandra Day O'Connor to be considered a greater person than Bill Gates?
No, Bill Gates on to the next round, into the Final Four.
So now let's move to the Southwest region on our sheet. Uh-huh. And there we have Barack Obama.
No. You're going to start talking about this now? No. The podcast is over.
You better leave this in the podcast. This is great.
I don't think I'm going to hear it.
He's in trouble with his wife.
My wife didn't realize that we were discussing not one.
She's watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Are there any Real Housewives that should be in the top eight?
Jen, who's the greatest living Real Housewife?
The greatest living. What about Bethany? She's great.
Bethany?
Bethany, I like Bethany a lot.
She likes Bethany a lot. Bethany your favorite from all the shows, from all the cities? No, she's not getting roped into a podcast, she says. Okay, so now we have Barack Obama against Michael Jordan.
Oh, no.
Shh, we'll be done in 10 minutes.
Tell her Akita, I stayed up till 4 a.m. for this.
Yeah, I know. It's 4 a.m. for him, for God's sake. Show some respect. All right, so we have Barack Obama against Michael Jordan, the first black president against the greatest basketball player of all time. On this one, in my Twitter poll, Michael Jordan did a little bit better than Sandra Day O'Connor. He got 2 votes. It was still Obama in a landslide. You know, you can make an argument for Jordan. My counter argument would be, you know, as I said last week, Barack Obama is the only person in this tournament who one day his face will appear on money. There could be another Michael Jordan one day. You know, LeBron has come close. There will never be another Barack Obama, right? We'll never have a first black president. Beyond the specific policies, agree or disagree, the historical nature of his election, I think, is enough to push him even past the greatest basketball player of all time. And again, the other thing with Jordan is his post-playing career has been very disappointing so far.
I hear you. I mean, again, you know, we've made this case already, but the team he owns isn't good, but financially he's doing better than just from being good at basketball. He has turned himself into a billionaire. It's hard to call him a failure, you know, post playing career. But yeah, to me, Obama gets this and Obama Gates in a Titanic Final Four matchup.
Okay, so now let's go to the other side. This is the best matchup in the Elite Eight. It's Muhammad Ali against Bill Clinton.
Oh boy,
Bill Clinton, one of our most popular presidents. You know, probably the most charismatic guy this country has produced in a long time. Muhammad Ali, you know, the most beloved athlete in this country. He has like 100% approval rating. he was a little bit before our time. I don't think people, like, do we understand why Muhammad Ali is so beloved?
No, not fully.
Yeah, you know, he was a charismatic athlete. He took a principled stand against the Vietnam War, and he really put something on the line. You know, most people just found deferments or excuses or ran away to Canada. He actually stuck where he was and gave up millions of dollars, went to jail for his principles. So, you know, that was heroic. But yeah, but I don't think that we really appreciate Muhammad Ali. I'm sure if we had somebody of our parents' generation on here, they could give a more forceful argument for him. I will point out, by the way, that in this Twitter poll, it was exactly 50-50. Again, it was only 10 votes, but 5 for Muhammad Ali, 5 for Bill Clinton. Akiva, which way are you voting here?
Okay, so first of all, when ESPN did their huge Sports Century poll, Jordan was 1, Ruth was 2, Ali was 3. Your beloved Jim Brown was 4. The argument against Ali is that maybe he's not the greatest athlete of all time, and some people say he's not even the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. But to me, Clinton is just another president. He is charismatic, but he's not in anybody's top 10 presidents list. So I don't think he needs to go on. So I'm going with Muhammad Ali.
Well, but hold on. So unsurprising to anybody, I have a chart of the top heavyweights of all time.
Okay.
And Muhammad Ali is number one. And
he's not number one in every single person's list.
All right. ESPN is number one. Boxing.com is number one. Boxing Insider. I have.
What about Boxing Outsider? Number one?
I have 13 different lists that I average together for their rankings. He's number two on Cox's Corner, and he's number two on Listverse. So
yeah, Listverse is, I think, fan just generated. Yeah, mostly, I listen to Cox's Corner's opinions Cox's on
Corner,
boxing.
Yeah.
That's where I go for boxing.
Cox's Corner puts Joe Louis number one. Yeah. But everybody else. So in other words, Muhammad Ali he's the consensus. I guess what you're saying is it's not as consensus as Michael Jordan in basketball, but it's pretty damn close. And the other thing to remember about Muhammad Ali is that who he faced, right? Like, you know, when you talk about, like, nowadays, there's really only one or two heavyweights who are good at the time. But you look at this list of the top 15 heavyweights of all time, they were all at the same time as Ali. So he was fighting against the best. You have Muhammad Ali at number one. You have Larry Holmes at number four. You have George Foreman at number five. You have Joe Frazier at number eight. You have Sonny Liston at number 12.
Again, we're voting for the same person, so I'm not sure why you're selling me on Ali.
Oh, are we voting for the same person?
Well, I voted for Ali.
I'm not sure.
Again, the number one boxer, number two athlete versus like the number 20 president?
Well, but first of all,
number 18 president?
So here's the thing. So nobody cares about boxing anymore in America, right? Boxing is like, what, our 10th biggest sport?
Sure, but he already did it. Like, he's not boxing now. He's already made his...
Yeah, Muhammad Ali has...
Who gets a bigger obituary when they die in the New York Times? That's a good question.
Oh, Bill Clinton, for sure.
Yeah.
Because he has more of an impact.
President. Yeah.
And also, he's got a lot more to come. You know, he's about to be the first gentleman for the next four, possibly 8 years.
You know, that could really push him over.
A lot of potential there.
Yeah, but then he might not even be the greatest person in his family.
Yeah, so here's the problem. I don't want this to just be like Obama against Clinton in the finals. And you were against the idea of having presidents in this at all.
Yeah. Because I compete with the president.
Yeah, because exactly. How do you compete? Like, by definition, the president should be the greatest American. And, you know, so I guess so that would be your point. So I think I will concede and I'm going to vote for Clinton, but I'm going to vote for Ali, but I'm going to count it as a vote for Clinton and then I concede to you.
Okay, fine.
Ali.
So, and then the last one is very simple. I think Mark Zuckerberg has to beat Al Gore.
Yeah, agreed.
Al Gore does not belong, and it bothers me that he would even be considered.
And that one, that vote, Al Gore got one vote, just like Sanjay O'Connor.
You mean, in your Twitter poll, it was like 8-1 or 9-1?
Yeah.
Okay. What if Donald Trump becomes president? If we did this again in January, where would he be?
Well, I mean, George W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, they all were in the tournament and lost pretty quickly.
What if Donald Trump becomes the best president?
Well, then we will certainly have to recalculate. We'll have to rethink a lot of things. I'll leave it at that.
I'm moving to Canada.
Okay. So now we have a final four. No. Are we?
We're not doing the final four now.
Wait, we're saving it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're saving.
All right. So we're going to save the final four, but so that our listeners can get excited, here's the final four. These are the matchups we have as we try to determine who is the greatest living American. We have Bill Gates against Barack Obama. And on the other side, we have Muhammad Ali against Mark Zuckerberg. We have a Muslim versus Jew. We have a holy war in the second of our semifinal matchups. And on the other side, of course, we have Bill Gates, our greatest philanthropist, our richest man, against Barack Obama, our president. So those are the matchups. Let us know what you think. Please give us comments. By the way, we never asked for this. Please give us some reviews and feedback on iTunes because it helps.
Just give us 5 stars. Nobody's you know, rating the show.
Yeah. And let us know. Tweet at Akiva and me. I'm at hester99. Akiva is at keev26. Let us know what you think about the episode and let us know Bill Gates versus Barack Obama, who you think should win and why. Mark Zuckerberg versus Muhammad Ali, who you think should win and why. Possibly who you think the champion should be of those four. If you say something particularly interesting. we will throw you in the next podcast. By the way, we had one of our listeners, a hardcore fan of John Glenn. I think that we should give him a shout out because this guy knows so much. This guy said that he wishes that John Glenn had become the president. This is Jim Crumley. Jim is on Twitter at Jim_Crumley. And he, by the way, he says that if Gates or Zuckerberg makes it much further in the tournament, it'll be a travesty. And sorry. Now they're both in the Final Four. So apologies to Jim. But yeah, he's a big fan of John Glenn. And he's not a big fan of Gates and Zuckerberg. What is it about them that he hates, do you think? Do you think he's just an anti-technology guy? Or
I don't know.
Anti-nerd? Is he? Maybe Jim Crumley is Goose Gossage. Maybe
ooh, he doesn't like the nerds. Do you hate nerds, Jim? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Zuckerberg and Gates both dropped out of Harvard. Both pretty nerdy.
Maybe
pretty
he likes people who finish Harvard.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Maybe.
Well, Barack Obama finished Harvard.
Maybe he likes him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, Jim, let us know what it is that you hate about Gates and Zuckerberg. Let us know who you think should, well, I guess we know. He thinks it should be Obama against Ali then in the championship, right? Because he's anti-Gates and anti-Zuckerberg. We'll discuss that and more.
Maybe he was a big Al Gore guy. Who knows?
Okay, so on next week's episode, we will do our Final Four of the Greatest Living Americans Tournament. We'll discuss the Sweet 16 of March Madness. And then we have a extra special surprise idea that Akiva has for next week, but we will save it for then, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for you to sign off.
No, I'm just going to stay here forever and get you in trouble with your wife. Yeah. I'm never going to say it. What does she want? What does she want you to watch Real Housewives with her?
No.
Why does she care that you're podcasting?
Because my podcasting is disrupting her concentration on the show.
Well, what are they like?
The thing. She watches Real Housewives the way that like I watch Game of Thrones. It's not just like on in the background lightly. She has to like analyze like the dialogue, you know, the script.
Would she listen to a podcast about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Well, she wouldn't listen to a podcast, period.
She would never listen to a podcast?
She's anti-podcast.
Is that because of this or was she always anti-podcast?
If by this you mean the fact that I do podcasts, yeah, that's probably why.
Uh-huh. And this is what's bringing. This is what's paying the bills. This is what's bringing in the money in her house. Yeah. I'm not sure why she doesn't like it.
Yeah. See, I don't even have that excuse the way that you know, like Rob's sister. You know, is there anybody who has a podcast whose wife doesn't hate the podcast? Like every podcast I listen to, and I listen to like 20 or 30 different podcasts. At some point,
is that a brag, or are you just telling us how nerdy you are?
Yeah. Well, you listen to more podcasts than I do.
Oh, for sure. I know, but I don't like brag about it.
But I'm just saying, like, I've never heard a podcast where the podcast host mentioned the fact that his or her significant other, anytime they mention it, it's as somebody who never listens to the podcast. Is there anybody whose spouse listens to their podcast?
Ooh, good question. Oh, no.
Yeah. If you have a podcast and your spouse or significant other listens to it, let us know.
I think if you forced my wife to either get a job or listen to 5 episodes of my Seinfeld podcast, she'd get a job.
But your wife probably hates Seinfeld also, right?
I think she's indifferent towards it, yeah.
Yeah, the frustrating part is, like, that's my wife's attitude towards it, even though she loves Curb, and even though every time I tell her, like, a plot from Seinfeld, she giggles. But I'm like, why don't you watch the episode with me? And then all of a sudden, she's super resistant.
I think she hates what Kramer had to say. She hates what Michael Richards had to say. She's not over it.
Oh, is that why? Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, she says she hates laugh tracks. See, the thing is, she needs a show like Real Housewives because she doesn't like to be distracted by the laugh track.
One thing I've really liked rewatching Seinfeld is if you listen closely, like, you'd hear individual people's laugh, and when there's, like, a really big, like, laugh scene, you hear, like, you just hear, like, ridiculous laughs.
So I have to admit that when I've been at live tapings of shows, I sometimes try and do that thing where I try and give, like, I try and make my laugh a little bit audible.
Can you ever hear yourself later?
I don't actually remember actually watching the show and trying to listen for it, but I do know that while I'm watching the show, sometimes I give, like, an extra laugh, like, I sort of, you know. But also, I don't have a particularly, you know, you have to have a very unique laugh. I think, first of all, you need to be a woman. Women seem to have more unique laughs than men usually.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all women's laughs.
All right, this is what happens when you don't say whatever. We just start talking about random things for several
minutes.
Well,
you should have just tried to trick me into getting, you know, I like this. I think
I was actually going to ask you a question in which the answer is whatever, but like what question would I ask you?
What was Cher's catchphrase in Clueless? I think it was
that?
Well, it was as if, but it was also whatever.